Karima Brown, live, online, smartphones, DSTV, and 92.7, and 106 FM.
8 minutes after 8 o'clock, this is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. The much-anticipated African National Conference Congress's List Conference is now set to take place on January 6th and 7th in KwaZulu-Natal after it was postponed this past weekend. This as the party still consolidate lists from provinces that has given them deadlines of Friday to complete all the list conferences and submit the names to the National Committee. All political parties set to contest the 2019 general elections are expected to decide on candidates to occupy posts in both provincial and national legislatures after the election in May. The postponement is due to the alleged infighting, voter manipulation and intolerance in the ANC. Well, to take us into confidence with some of the granular detail that is happening in the party, I'm joined on the line by ENCA political reporter Samkele Maseko. Samkele, good evening. Welcome to the program.
A very good evening to you, Karima, and to the viewers at home.
Now, of course, this anticipated national list conference was preceded by provincial lists. Just give us factually, as it stands now, how many regions in the African National Conference, a Congress rather, has had their list conferences, and how many more must still go through the process?
In my understanding, Karima, there's about seven provinces. In fact, there are seven provinces who've held successful list conferences, and there are two provinces which are outstanding. That would be the Northwest province, where violence broke out about a week ago in Potchefstroom, which were in fact that aligned to Supra Mohamapilo, the former chairperson, and that aligned to Job Mahoro and Kenneth Mufaluha, who are the convener and the coordinator of the PTT. That would be seemingly the post-Cyril Ramaphosa faction that has been tugging it out and slugging it out in that province. And there was also court litigation issues in the Free State,
yes,
the province of Ace Magashule.
Yes.
The court litigation has become synonymous with that province at factional battles of the African National Congress. So it was pro Ace Magashule leadership, which is the incumbent PEC of the province, versus those who are purported to be the supporters of the former of current president Cyril Ramaphosa, slugging it out in a court of law over the list conferences of the ANC, the provincial one in that province. So that's where the legal warfare basically lies. It lies in predominantly the former Premier League provinces, which would be the Northwest Province, the Free State, and Mpumalanga. In my understanding, in Mpumalanga, the National List Committee, the NCL of the ANC, rejected the provincial list that was submitted by the provincial leadership of the ANC in Mpumalanga, led by Mandla Ndlovu, who is the acting provincial chairperson, saying that a number of irregularities happened in that provincial list conference. There was a number of manipulation of the names which were finally submitted to the ANC's National List Committee, which is the NLC, by the provincial LLC, which would be the provincial list committee of the Mpumalanga province, basically saying that the first 25% of the names which are not meant to be tampered with were indeed tampered with in the Mpumalanga PLC committee.
Before we go into the specifics of the provinces, the ANC also has a document that is given to the provinces, which they must use. It's called the ANC election selection process, ANC candidate selection process for 2019. And it talks about the role of the National Executive Committee. It talks about the PEC. And then it talks about the list committees, their powers and function, their composition. But most importantly, it speaks about what the candidates, the criteria for the candidates and the list. And the criteria, it says, must be guided by the character of the ANC, our objective of winning elections, and the kind of people we need in government. The list process is an ANC process, and all candidates stand as ANC members. Provision will be made for the effective participation of the alliance in the process. There will be no reserved seats for any organization within or outside the alliance on the list, because MPs are ultimately accountable to the ANC. And then it says the candidate should meet the following criteria. And I just want to run through it with you, and then we can talk about certain individuals. The one says that the ANC a member must be in good standing with a proven track record. The other one says there must be experience, education and expertise that will enable them to make a constructive contribution. No criminal record after 1996 that resulted in a sentence of 12 months or more without the option of a fine. No history of ill discipline or corruption, no history of involvement in fostering division and conflict, no other breaches of ANC code of conduct, right? Now, that is quite a set of criteria. If we look at the list conference, let's say in KwaZulu-Natal, that went off fairly smoothly, you have someone like Malusi Gigaba being on the national-to-national list. And of course, he resigned from cabinet following court decisions around, you know, whether he was lying to the court or not. Then, of course, the committee in parliament found that he is one of the people that should actually be criminally prosecuted together with Lynn Brown for his role in state capture. He still has to appear in front of the commission. Now, just tell our listeners some Kele. If someone like Malusi Gigaba's name comes on, he's now been voted in popularly, but the list criteria that the list committee must now, adjudicate on, can someone like Malusi Gigaba be removed from the list off the back of the criteria that has been set out in this document?
In my understanding, that's when that process, the ANC has the powers to do that. If you have been found guilty or you have dented or you still have the potential of damaging the ANC's reputation in one way or another, the National List Committee, the NLC, has the final say and is the final avatar on the verification of these lists and following the proper ANC guidelines set out by its own document and criteria on how to choose its own public representatives, whether it be the members of provincial legislatures, members who are going to the National Council of Provinces, or in finality, the national to national list, which would be those who are going to the National Assembly. So the ANC's NLC, where the ANC's Secretary General does sit, and a number of senior ANC leaders, the likes of all the also your provincial secretaries, they also sit in the National List Committee, and the various presidents and secretaries of the leagues, they sit in that National Committee. They have got the final say on who is removed and who is not removed, but they do have to use the ANC's criteria and guidelines on how to select MPs, and they do have the final say. That is the final arbiter which can remove or include a person's name. And that will then be sent to the ANC's National Executive Committee, NEC, which will further deliberate on it. For instance, with the issue of Malusi Gigaba, you had one of the ANC's NEC members and current Minister of Health in his branch in Limpopo was advocating for Malusi Gigaba not to be nominated. But eventually, that would be Aaron Motsoaledi. He lost the debate, and Malusi Gigaba was nominated by that particular branch. But the ANC's, as I said earlier on, National List Committee is the final avatar with the NEC in order to fine-tune and to follow the ANC's guidelines to the letter, even if it means removing certain individuals from that list, which basically means Malusi Gigaba, Bathabile Dlamini, and Lynn Brown, and all those who have been embroiled in issues of state capture and corruption and who've got findings and verdicts against them of wrongdoing or even lying to the courts, may find themselves in a precarious position where they have to be removed by the ANC, NEC.
Samkele, let me just also say the following. In this document, it says the overall list should meet the following criteria. It says, in line with through the eye of the needle and our overall development, it says that there must be a geographical spread throughout the provinces. So you can't have in a place, let's say like Mpumalanga, only people from KwaNdebele or only Swatis. There has to be a proper spread. Then it says there must be a high representation of women in line with Rule 6 of the ANC ANC constitution that at least 50% of the women, that means at least every second name throughout the list must be a woman. And the women must include 20% of women under the age of 40. So there's a very definite bias toward young people. And then it also says 40 and 50% are above should be sitting or former MPs and MPLAs or councillors to ensure continuity and experience. And then it says it must also reflect the liberation movement and the character of the ANC, including considering ANC members who are serving in COSATU, in SANCO, the SACP and the MDM structures, a good mix of young people with the aim of 20% of the people to be under the age of 40 with a long-term goal to increase it to 30, as well as people with disabilities who are differently abled. And then it says 33% or more should have specific areas of expertise to deal with the challenges government already face, particularly areas in economic development, finance, rural development, social development, safety and security. Candidates must also be available for full-time parliamentary and party and constituency work. Now, that's again also quite a tough set of criteria. Just very quickly, in a minute, Samkele, sum up how the ANC is going to get this percentage of women and this percentage of women under the age of 40 to make up the list, and also for them to actually have the expertise to lead, you know, the economy and other important areas, and as well keep a certain percentage of MPs that are there for continuity, because that's a very, very tall order.
Well, the biggest mistake that the ANC has made, and it's the same mistake your parties like the Economic Freedom Fighters are making, and it's something that the Democratic Alliance has seemingly tried to get right but gotten horribly wrong over the past 2-3 years. The ANC has a vast number of young female cadreship in their ranks who are high profile, who are very smart within their respective areas of expertise or areas of work. For instance, you go to the likes of Amanda Bonney in KZN, you go to the likes of Marupin Ramakgopa, who's part of the who's part of South Africa's international relations. She's out in India at this point in time on admission there. I've got a lot of young people who are within various sectors in the ANC, whether it be in the financial sector, who are up and smart and running, but they have not been given the necessary space to operate within the political realm, in the forefront of issues such as the ANC Women's League. For instance, you've got the likes of, I'm just forgetting her name now, who was the former president of the Wits SRC. She is right, and right. You've got Fasiya Hassan as well. So you've got those young ANC female leadership are up there. But one thing that we are beginning to realize, and it's cutting across all provinces, young people who may not be particularly under 35, but who are between ages of 43 and below, have taken over the ANC. For instance, you look at KZN, what is perceived as the older generation has been forced to take retirement. The likes of Willis Mutuma, the current premier of the province, he is definitely not coming back to the KZN legislature. He is not part of the 54 names that were voted upon this past weekend list conference of the ANC, where you've got the province to province, which is largely youthful. For instance, the first 34 names I saw, is the average age on that list is 43, which basically means that the older generation of the ANC, who have been referred to as sleepists in parliament, their days are numbered and they will be forced to take early leave. Early retirement, rather.
Absolutely. Samkele, we've run out of time, but I think you've raised a very important point, and we're going to come back to this in the new year with special focus on the election, is that push by the young people in the African National Congress, and that goes across the Zuma, the old Zuma or old NDZ, old Ramaphosa factions. Young people in both those groups want to come to the fore and are fighting for positions to come out. I'm going to be very You know, I'm going to watch with a beady eye what the National List Committee is going to do to balance this out and to make sure that young people are actually there. And of course, we must remember there isn't an essential relationship between youth and progress. You can put a young people in a position and you can have a complete disaster. There isn't a definite relationship between being young and being progressive. But I also think that if one looks at the fact that Africa has over 200 million young people, then there is no other way to go. Samkele, thank you so very much for that very detailed explanation. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will be speaking with the chairperson of the Boerkop Civic Association about the fact that the area is being looked at as a national heritage site.